Good morning, church. There we go. Much better, much better. I'm just having you do that so they can hear you online, so they know that I'm preaching to people instead of like it was for a while. Well, no one was here. It's good to have you with us today. We are continuing our series entitled Preaching Through the Bible, just taking a small section out of each book and preaching on that. Today we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah, maybe one of the shortest men in the Bible. It's dad joke day, right? Nehemiah. Anyway, don't worry. There's a few more to come yet, maybe. Well, one day you can get away with the bad jokes, right? Anyway, all right. Nehemiah chapter 4 is actually what we're going to be looking at. It's been some time ago now. Actually, I got the idea for this message and been waiting to preach it maybe a couple years. But my brother-in-law, Jeff Hosteller, had showed me a video that kind of inspired at least a portion of this sermon. And when we get there, I'll try to point that out. But trying to take the reconstruction and the rebuilding of the walls in Jerusalem and the work and the effort that's going on there, and then tie that in with the work of fathers today, and especially the work of godly fathers, is what we're going to try to accomplish. So bear with us as we'll be getting into that in just a moment. A lady by the name of Irma Bombeck, some of you may have some of her books, a comedian, an inspirationalist of years gone by. She has an article that she had wrote when to someone who had asked about what exactly does a dad do, and she goes on and lists off all these wonderful things that I'm sure that your father and my father had all done for us. And the thing is that was kind of hard for her to write and to share about with that is that she lost her father when she was 7 years old. And so some of this is what she was maybe thinking, that if she had a father through all those years, what he should have done. But anyway, so she writes this whole article and she finishes out with, she goes, you know, and maybe at the end, one day a year, you'll get a card saying thank you. And she goes, and it'll all be worth it. And she goes, and even if you don't, at least you're in an occupation where the work is steady, right? And so as she shared that, and so I want for us to kind of, as it being Father's Day, kind of gear our thoughts towards that of men trying to be what God wants for us to be. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 9 through 20 is going to be our text this morning. We'd like for you to turn there. And we're going to read that all the way through, and then we're going to make some comments here. Verse number 9, but we prayed to our God. Isn't that a good thing to do? But we prayed to our God. Sometimes we look at that and we say, well, there's nothing else I can do. I guess I'll just pray. When really, really, and don't think, I think we've all been there where we're like, well, I guess I'm just going to pray about it. Well, maybe if we started off all of this in prayer, we wouldn't maybe be in the predicament that we get into sometimes. But anyway, it says, but we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Got to understand, they were trying to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. They had been away in captivity. Ezra had come back and worked on building the temple, rebuilding the temple. Nehemiah comes back, his heart had a burden for getting the wall rebuilt. You got to understand the need for the wall, for protection, for guidance. Actually, then at the city gates of there is where the leaders would sit. Commerce would take place, all kinds of different things. And if the wall was not something that was solid and strong all the way down to its foundation, it would lead to problems. But anyway, it goes on to say, thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearer is failing, yet there is much rubbish. and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemy said they will not know, or our enemy said they about them, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. You always got to be careful of the naysayers. When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and exposed places. And I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And I love the song service this morning, pointing out that very fact over and over again in all of the songs that we sang. It says, fight for your brothers and for your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. And when our enemies heard this, it was known to us, and that God had frustrated their plan. Then all of us returned to the wall, and each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, with half of them held spear, while half of them held spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah, those who were rebuilding the wall, and those who carried burdens to their load, with one hand doing the work and the other hand holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his own sword, girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. We're in a fight, people. We're in a fight. They were in a fight in this day, and they weren't just fighting against people. They would be fighting against circumstances, fighting against false words, against lies, against deception. There was a huge fight, and much the same as we are engaged in today. And as we said, they started off in verse 9 by saying, but we prayed to our God. They prayed to God for help. Because of them, we set up guard against them day and night. They were talking about those from the outside forces that were looking to disrupt the work and the effort of the Israelites that came back from the captivity to rebuild the wall. And anytime you get engaged in a good work, be sure Satan, as Josh shared in the Sunday school class this morning, Satan is going to do his best to slander the work that is being done. Never before is it going to be any greater time for criticism to come about, for words of fear to be shouted out at you, than when you set out to do the work of the Lord. And that's exactly what they are doing today. And yet today, as we see in our own country and even around the world, the belittling of the father in the family, in the leading out, don't let that stop you from being the man that you ought to be. Continue to press forward. So let's get going into a few things that we want to look at this morning that I pointed out that I think we can relate to as dads. The first one we want to look at is taking out the trash. Taking out the trash. We see this in verse 10. It says, then in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearer is falling, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Taking out the trash. As dads, it is our responsibility as soon as we can to make sure that we train one of our children to take out the trash. Right? But in the meantime, we've got to take out the trash. I've found that as my boys are getting older, I try to have them still do that, but they're just not around as often as they used to be, that I find myself taking out the trash more often than I probably care to. But It is a good reminder for us dads that we have to take out the trash. Now, I'm going to speak from some of this that I know and I understand and I'm aware of, and others, you have better understanding of it than myself. But we have trash that comes into our house all the time, right? Sometimes it's over the airwaves, maybe on the TV screen, maybe on the radio. Definitely times it can come into your house through the internet. Maybe it's even friends of your children that come into your house and they bring in messages. They bring in things that ought not to be. And you know what? It is our responsibility, dads, to take out the trash. Take out the garbage. As we see that, I see this, and we see the word that they use there. There was much rubbish. There was much rubbish. And I don't know, I just see that word, and I start to laugh a little bit. It's almost like they're talking British. I keep waiting for it to be followed up with a, take out the rubbish, cheerio, you know, type of a thing. But we see it says to take out the rubbish, to take out the rabble, to take out the trash, to take out the garbage. And what we find interesting about this is who made this statement? It was Judah. It was supposed to be the strong, the powerful, the leading group of people in this group that had returned. And yet, sometimes we still get distracted, don't we, no matter how strong we are. And we say, well, I can't do the work because of all the garbage that's in the way. I can't get a thing done with all the mess that's here. I can't get accomplished what needs to be accomplished. Have we heard that before? And so what do you have to do sometimes? Sometimes you have to stop and you have to clear everything out. You have to take out all the garbage, take out all the trash. You have to do some cleaning before you can get the work done. And oh, by the way, the point that I am not associated with, and as some of you guys are, especially you that have daughters, I'm sure that especially as you have young men come courting on them, there is time that you have to take out the trash. Amen? Huh? Right? And so I've been fortunate. My guys, they go out and they bring home the ladies, right? But there are those households where the guys come to the house. And that trash, it can be. And when they see it, you know, you've heard the phrase that one man's trash is another man's treasure. Sometimes we're looking at things through rose-colored glasses, and the daughters need to be helped to understand if they're looking at a treasure or they're looking at trash. There we go. All right, that happens to be the father of one of the daughters that is, anyway. But do we agree that sometimes we got to take out the trash? There's things in our lives, in our homes, and things that we got to clear out if we're going to be able to build properly in the way that we need to. David was always in struggle with that. Josh looked at many of the things this morning when he's talking about slandering. But David in Psalms 35:17 says, Lord, how long will you look on? Do we ever just feel, you know, hey, I'm in this situation. How long are you just going to sit back and look at this, Lord? Well, His timing is not the same as our timing. And sometimes it can be a long time. And we pray for a rescue. We say, rescue my soul from their ravages. Because you know what happens when you start to bring in the trash and you start to hoard things? You start getting things that hang around that you don't want hanging around. And he even makes reference here, my only life from the lions. And so what do we associate with the lions? You know, we go to the book of Daniel, we may think of that. If you're myself, you think of Detroit, and you think, there's nothing to fear about the lions. But that's right. But as we look at that and we talk about those lions, they're in the New Testament, Peter says that the devil himself is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may just lick on, right? No, seeking whom he may devour, to wipe out, to eat, to destroy. And so we've got to be so very, very careful about that. If we want to get the work done, sometimes it starts by taking out the trash, taking out the trash. Secondly, as fathers, we come used to this whether you want to or not, but it's that of working double shifts. Working double shifts. I want to look at verses 17 and 18 of our text. Now, I know it seems like we skipped through, but we are going to be coming back. But we want to look at verses 17 and 18 for this one. It says, those who were rebuilding the wall and those who were carried burdens took their loads with one hand doing the work and others holding a weapon. And as for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, and while the trumpeter stood near me. Now this work, these double shifts, it may mean that you're doing twice the work at the same time. It may be that you're given this task, and you're given this task, and you're given another task, and they've all got to get done. Or it may mean that after you think you've come home and you've sat down to take a break, it's time to go again. And it's another shift to put in. And so it's a back-to-back shift. And sometimes it's a back-to-back-to-back shift. And sometimes it seems like it's never going to quit. But we see that they saw this. And one thing that we see from them, that we see here, is they prepared for whatever the case. They prepared for if war was coming, the weapons of warring, and then the weapon or their tools of work. They had the trowels, they had the hammers, they had the things that they would wear on one side for work, and then their bows, their spears. And if you notice in the text there, another place it also says that all the family was there to help. You know what makes your job a whole lot easier? Many hands make light work, right? And we see this in there of even the children, as you would read through the entire book of Nehemiah, that the children were the ones bringing water, carrying things, even doing some cleanup for themselves. But how are they going to know what to do? How are they going to know how to work? It's going to be because of the leading example that was set there. And in this day, we're looking at God-like men, Christian men, fathers, to be what they need to be. But one thing, dads, that I take from this verse, that it's not always easy for us as dads to do, but let somebody else help you. Let somebody else help you. And Nehemiah says that we stood there and we watched the work being done, and the trumpeter stood near me. The trumpeter stood near me. What was the trumpeter to do? What was he to do? In case the enemy arose, in case wickedness came about them, he would blow the horn. He'd let everybody know. He'd warn them. You know what? There are older men here. There are older fathers that have great wisdom that they could blow in the ears. The trumpet, let that trumpet sound to the younger fathers that are here today. Amen? They don't have to do it alone. You know, I'm having struggle with raising my kids. You know what? There's somebody here that's probably got some words of wisdom that could help you with that. Now, the hard thing to do is that when the horn goes off, many times, what do we want to do? We want to close our ears, don't we? And so understand what they're there for. And maybe you understand that, you know what, I'm trying to just deal with this situation and I'll come back to you later and let you give me some information, but I got to deal with this right now. But there is other help that is there. The trumpeter is there. The sound of the trumpet, the horns being blown, are there for a reason. And so many times we'll say, well, who do they think they are to tell me how to raise my kids? And then you'll realize, you know what, I sure could have used that advice. I wish I would have used that advice. I pray that next time I will use that advice. And the trumpeter that is there on the wall blowing is for our own benefit. It is to help us to understand the work is tedious. The work is ongoing. We know that when they built this wall, they were able to rebuild it in 52 days. But you know what? The training of children takes a lifetime. The raising of families takes a lifetime. And there's double shifts. There's a lot of work and a lot of effort that goes into this. but allow for others to help. The third thing then I want for us to share here this morning, and you know, we're talking about taking out the trash, which I had this cool joke on I was going to tell this joke about a trash can, but then I just realized it's just garbage. But so we're taking out the trash. Hal, that was funny. Hal's shaking his head. No. Taking out the trash, working double shifts, working overtime. And then the third point I want for us to understand as we go back to verse 14 is, you know what? Join the fight club. Join the fight club. Now I know the first rule of fight club, right? First rule of fight club is you don't talk about fight club. But I'm letting you know right here long enough, we've had it long enough in this country and around the world where we haven't been telling our fathers, our godly men, our Christian men that want to be involved in lives of others to sit down and shut up. It's time to join the fight club and talk about it. Amen? Let it go. We have to be involved in that. Join the fight club. It says, when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. This is no time to be passive. This is no time to sit back and let somebody else do it. We're in the situation we're in because we have let just the very same thing happen. It's time to get involved. But we see some things here that are needful for us. I'm reminded by, and we've got a Would You Did You as one of our camps that we're still able to have this summer. And our text for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And it says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Really, if we just wanted to give a little pep rally this morning, that would be the verse for us on Father's Day. Is be ready, be aware of what's going on. One of the biggest concerns is when you say, you know, you go talk to somebody, I'm not sure if you're aware your child is doing this or something. First, they're going to get mad. Why are they going to get mad? Because chances are they probably didn't know. Then, if they're mad, they're going to say, well, don't you have your own kids to raise? And I said, that's where the last point came in, that boy, if you got somebody else helping to blow the trumpet, it can sure save you from a lot of trouble later. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Stand up. Be strong. Be strong. And so many times, and I'm not saying there doesn't need to be a discussion with events and things that take place and training efforts and raising kids, that there needs not to be a discussion between the husband and the wife. But there are times where you need to act like a man and you just need to make the decision yourself and let everybody else follow. That was one of the things in the article of the Irma Bombeck that she had wrote is, you know what, sometimes dad's going to make a decision and he has to make it quick and he's going to make a decision that makes everybody happy. But more often than not, he's going to make a decision that makes everybody mad. And as the children and as the wife and as everybody else, you've got to understand that he is making the best decision he can based on the information that he has at hand. Act like men. Be strong. Then the next thing I want for us to remember is to remember. It was in our text there, verse 14. It says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. We sang about that today. Remember him. Remember how it's always good to start off in prayer? It said then that to be ready in the morning, pray. To be ready at night, pray. And I think Nehemiah in a roundabout way is here and say, you know what? It's also good to drop to your knees and pray during the day. Anytime. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And then the rest of that verse follows up by saying, and fight for your brothers. And this is where it is rather interesting, because we're talking to the men here, and who does it say to fight for? Fight for your brothers. That's where that trumpeter then comes in good. It's nice to have other men to bounce things off of. We're told in scriptures how iron sharpens iron. Find another man in your life that can be iron to help keep you sharp. But it says there, fight for your brothers. In other words, church, know who your family is. And I'm talking church family. Know who your church family is. And then it says, fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and fight for your houses. Things that are yours, stand up and fight for them. Don't let somebody come in and just take them away. But the problem is, in today's society, it's not so much of the kids are being taken away as it seems and appears that the men are just giving them away. This is based on the last census that was taken, the 2010 census, right? And if you haven't seen the commercial, you know, you're supposed to get that all filled out and have that all in. And I think it's funny they keep playing those, because they were supposed to be answered by like March or April, unless they've extended that too. Maybe they deferred that too, I'm not sure. But you're supposed to have your census filled out. And you know what the census of 2010 proved? That we had, it was 19.7 million homes without fathers in them. Almost 20 million. That's one out of every four, according to the statistics I read from that group in 2010. One out of four. So if you're here this morning and you're of age where you're still living home and your dad is there with you, praise the Lord for it. And those that are acting as that, praise the Lord for it. Those that are intervening for on the Lord's behalf for that, praise the Lord for it. Because we're in a fight. But the problem is, many are just walking right out. One out of four. It's almost 20 million kids. Go home from school, come home from somewhere, and dad will never show up. Is that not a heartbreaking commentary on America? You see, we don't have to go outside, go around the world to find that. That's this America. We're told to fight. But I'm reminded of a passage of scripture, and I think Josh read it out of Deuteronomy this morning to begin. But the event that took place in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14 was when they're getting ready to cross the Red Sea. They've been led out of Egypt. Moses is leading the people. And they come to the Red Sea, and they get scared, and they don't know what to do. And, you know, we always want to make sure, especially as men, that we do speak up. But I will say this, men. When God speaks, it's time to shut up. Write that, right? When God speaks, it's time to shut up. And Moses reminds the people as they come to, what are we going to do? The Israelite army's coming. They're bearing down on us. We're either going to drown in the Red Sea or we're going to be killed by the Egyptians at best. And Moses looks at the people and says, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. In other words, do everything that you can do to get you to the point that it's all up to God. And then when it's all up to God, then get out of the way. Right? Do we get that, church? Do we get that? So was it their effort to get them there? Yeah, they had to leave Egypt. They had to trek out across there. They had to run while they could. But when the time comes and you've done everything that you can do, don't whine about it. Just be quiet and watch God work. And that's what Moses reminds them. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. And that's why when it says, fathers, do not provoke your children, but, no, be silent. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't make them, don't push them away. There are things that we need to do, and then there are times that there are things that we need not to do. But fight, and the Lord will do his part and take care of the rest. We got to take out the trash. Might have to work really hard and maybe even double shifts. But be ready to join the fight club. Because brothers, there is a battle going on. There is a war that is being waged, and it's for the minds and ultimately the souls of all of these children that are right here. George, is there any child in this room that you want to see slip away into a godless eternity? No. Gary? No. Joe? No. Right? No, we don't want it to happen. So let's do our part, even if that means helping out somebody else that we see is struggling. As Troy Northrup says, take a look around. It's not always the hand out, it's the hand up that people need. Do our best. Take out the trash. Do the work. And join the fight. And don't back down. And in the words of Nehemiah, you will accomplish the task if you have the mind to work. Continue to work. Work now. And work for each and every child that the Lord has put in your responsibility as a family. If you've got children, wife, if you're a man and you're influencing people, teaching classes, whatever it may be, do your best to fight for what the Lord finds important. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, as we look at this morning, we talk about the belief. It says that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. It's probably one of the first things that we try to teach our kids, is that there's a God. That there's a God. That there's Jesus. That He's here and how He impacts our life. But it's not just enough to always keep Jesus off in the distance. We have to bring Him near. We are brought near by His blood, the blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary. As we repent and we start to grow in that, our knowledge and understanding, we find that repentance is necessary because we realize that my sin put Jesus on the cross. It's not where we can blame everybody else. I'm responsible now. But I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you all likewise perish. That you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Matthew 10:32. We've said that Greek word, homologio, means to come alongside, that we're in accordance with, that we understand. That's what confession is. And so, does that only happen as you're lowered down in the watery grave of baptism? No. Hopefully, every day of our life, we're walking in agreement with what the Lord says. But therefore, anyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And then to be immersed. You know, this year was kind of a mixed up year on the calendar anyway, let alone with everything else that's happened with the pandemic and everything. Because normally it's on Father's Day that we leave for camp. But the calendar had it shifted this year that actually we were all going to, just like today, we'd be here today for Father's Day, all day. And we would have left last Sunday and came back and we'd be hearing all about camp tonight. And you know, one of the great stories that we are able to usually share about what happened during the week of camp is perhaps someone that gave their life to Jesus Christ and was obedient. We took them down to the creek and had them baptized and wash away their sins. And they went on their way rejoicing. But I'll just say this, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, but if you're here today and you're old enough to know what's being said, I don't think your father would have any greater joy than if today was the day you began your walk with Jesus Christ. That it was on Father's Day 2020 when I became a Christian. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to know and to remember? As dad? Yeah, boy. Now, not that it's not precious any time that it happens, but you know what? We didn't have that special week of camp where we really got to talk to you and influence you and maybe even answer questions for you. But you know what? There's still men around here that'll help do that, that'll answer those questions. Mark 16:16, Jesus says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, and he who disbelieves shall be condemned. We don't wish condemnation upon anyone. We wish salvation through Jesus Christ upon everyone. And then to be faithful, and be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So that when this life comes to a rest, whether if it's the Lord's return or us going home, boy, isn't it going to be great to know that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Will you stand with us and sing our song of invitation here this morning as they lead out?
Greater is the one who's in us. Greater is the one who calls our name. He will never.
Before we close out this morning, we've got something special we'd like to do, or at least make you aware of. So at this time, so if you haven't noticed yet, a new couple that's been meeting with us over, and they got three lovely kids over here. We got Ryan and Lydia Hinchin. I'm going to ask if you guys will come forward. They are the new house parents at the children's home. And so I want to ask Hal and Joe and Daryl if you guys would all come up here with them, and then the elders are going to come up here as well. Now, Joe did tell me this morning that it's been since March that he's been able to preach at a congregation. And when we had him in here before, he said that when preachers don't preach, they get real preachy. Yes. I'm handing him a mic, so yes. I don't know what's going
so
on, right?
You can just get comfortable if
yeah,
you like.
Rick's just going to go ahead and Rick's going to sit down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Joe's going to say a few words about Ryan and Lydia and what's taking place, and then Gary's going to pray for them as they begin their new work at the children's home.
Right, great. So why don't you guys come on up here? So just real quick, I want to let you know the reason why we're doing this here today is Ryan and Lydia have answered God's call to come serve at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, and we wanted to celebrate their answering of the call with our home church. And you are our home church, and of course you're much more than that. You're our friends. You serve alongside of us. You pray alongside of us. You give us a great sense of togetherness. And it's not easy in the trenches, but you're in there with us, and we're thankful for that. So we want to celebrate with you. And I thought a lot about this because 2 years ago,